You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Wait, what was that? The Connecticut Huskies? It's a shame Stephen A's not here. I don't think his college is in the Final Four, but I'd have to check. Monica McNutt, don't be outdressing me with that blazer. Good to see you, girl. And J.J. Redick in studio.
Good morning.
Appreciate that. Good morning. Good morning. And we're going to have Jeff Saturday, Marcus Spears in a minute. A bunch of guests stopping by today. We're going to have a lot of fun. Stephen A. on vacation. I'm happy where we started, though. Don't worry. We'll get to Duke. How about those UConn Huskies, ladies and gentlemen? Double OT. Paige Buckets getting hot late to knock off one seed NC State and punch their ticket to the Final Four for the 14th straight time. Greatness. It starts at the top. Here's the GOAT, Gino Auriemma, on enjoying the moment one game at a time.
I think when you're younger, you know, you think, I got a million of these left in me, you know, and you get to a certain age then where you go, I don't know how many of these I have left. You don't know how many opportunities you're going to get to be in this game. It means more because each time you do it, there's a new set of kids that have never been there, and they came to Connecticut for a chance to play in the Final Four, and it's this overwhelming responsibility that you have to give them a chance, and we did.
Monica, we have a lot of incredible games thus far, a lot of incredible teams in the Final Four, both men's and women's, but would you say this is the most exciting game we've had thus far of March Madness with the double OT?
Oh, man, Molly. First of all, I'm thrilled that this is leading the show. And I think I do have to answer that question, yes, but I want to give a shout out to the Iowa-Creighton ball game that also came down to a game winner by Lauren Jensen from Creighton. But in terms of the stamina, the back-and-forth nature, we're texting with our researchers and our fellow colleagues at ESPN that cover women's basketball at the end of the game, and we're all like, I'm exhausted. I'm mentally exhausted from this ball game. It was incredible, and I must tip my hat to Westmore and NC State, the Wolfpack. They were not afraid of the moment, and it looked like at points during the course of regulation that UConn was poised to pull away, and of course, the huge shot that Ja'Kia Brown-Turner hit to force the double OT, I believe. But ultimately, Paige Beckers, the comparison, I should say, to Diana Taurasi from Gino Auriemma himself. There is not a stage or a moment in which that seemed to ring eerily true because she was ice cold in the overtime period and her running mate, AZ Fudd, as well. For them to be sophomores and a freshman, respectively, Paige a sophomore and a freshman, they looked like poised upperclassmen. They got to their spots. They were calm. They did not miss from the free throw line. It was an incredible display from the Huskies and overall an incredible ball game and what has been a very fun women's NCAA tournament.
JJ, I know you are watching this. What were your thoughts?
I'm biased, of course, and I'd like to say that Duke's win in the Sweet 16 or Duke's win in the Elite Eight against or Texas Tech and Michigan State, those two games, would be the best games of the Final Four. And, of course, St. Peter's run captured the imagination of the entire country. But this absolutely was the best game of March Madness. And the main reason was the stakes. This was an Elite Eight game for a chance to get to the Final Four. Connecticut's streak was on the line. I was so impressed watching this game last night with the execution, the shot making. Of course, the execution to get Brown-Turner the three in the corner. But Becker's shot making in the second half was just incredible. UConn executed their inbounds plays. They got the ball to the right people when NC State was fouling. Becker's made her free throws. Just an incredible game. My only gripe with the game was that Gino did not have them foul when there was 6 seconds left in the first OT and up three. I think that's pretty much universal now in basketball that you try to foul while the ball handler's dribbling the ball. They had two opportunities to do that and didn't get that, and Brown-Turner got a clean look. Monica, I agree with you, by the way. In watching this game, Paige was giving off major Diana Taurasi vibes, and it was impressive to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. Monica, before we move on, let me ask you this. So we've got South Carolina, UConn, Stanford, Louisville. Who's winning it all?
I have long gone with the South Carolina Gamecocks. They have been number one wire to wire over the course of the regular season. Aaliyah Boston should be the National Player of the Year. And I think the story, as we talk about incredible storybook endings, potentially, like we're looking at Duke on the men's side. Yeah. Last year, the agony of defeat that was very graphic in public when they did not come up with the victory versus Stanford. And this same group essentially having the opportunity to run it back. I think they're incredibly focused. Now, I will add this caveat. JJ and Molly.
Okay.
They've struggled a little bit offensively at points. And all four of these teams, who is going to show up big and make shots? Because you've got four teams that can all defend very well. So somebody's going to have to separate themselves offensively.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's very hard to pick against South Carolina. They've been the best team all year. They have the best player in the tournament in Aaliyah Boston. They have a great coach in Dawn Staley. But let's not ignore Stanford. After Aaliyah Boston, they probably have the next two best players in the Final Four in Haley Jones and Cameron Brink. Haley Jones, of course, is the reigning most outstanding player in the Final Four. The question mark around them, can Cameron Brink stay out of foul trouble? If she does, Stanford has a real chance, a real chance to come away with their second straight national championship.
JJ, I think you're right, but we could make the argument that Louisville's defense, considering some of the trouble that South Carolina has had, we could make the argument that Louisville will have a really great chance. Haley Van Lith, consecutive 20-point games in this tournament, she has been about her business. And we all just watched what UConn did.
Yeah.
And so if it comes down to both teams have played incredible defense, we just saw a display of not just Paige and not just AZ, but Aaliyah Edwards comes up with a huge rebound that also helps UConn separate. And so which one of these teams has the offense that's going to separate? Because I know we're in for some defensive displays for sure.
There's just there's great players and great coaches in this Final Four. Really exciting this weekend to watch. I'm excited about this.
And then there's the greatest, and that's Gina Auriemma. But it's cool. It's cool. I'm not picking Duke either, so don't worry. In case you didn't know, I bleed blue, okay? We're moving on here, guys, to the pros. The Grizzlies, without Ja Morant, 18-2, no Ja, no problem, as they hand the Warriors the largest loss of the season, a 28-point beatdown in Memphis. A furious Steve Kerr was ejected at the half. Mike Brown took over coaching and calling for next man up.
Whoever is available to put on a uniform, they just got to go out and compete. And I, again, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen. At the end of the day, you know, we can't wait on Steph. We can't wait on Draymond. We can't wait on anybody. Whoever can put on a uniform is going to have to go out there and play. And we've done it before.
All right, Golden State has been struggling since losing Steph Curry to a foot injury against the Celtics, dropping six of their last seven, with last night's loss being their largest of the season. James Wiseman done for the season. Monica, I cannot believe I'm asking this, because early on it felt like the Warriors were looking like world beaters, you know, men amongst boys. But has the Warriors' window closed as serious title contenders with this revolving door of injuries?
Molly, the door is closed.
Wow.
This is not about anything that these guys can or cannot do. It is just the reality of the league that we all love and consume insatiably. All three of the guys that are at the center of what the Warriors have done have missed notable amounts of time with injuries. While we hate to see players injured, that's a part of the game. It would be different to me, JJ, if these guys were still 24 through 26 now dealing with injuries, right? So they are all plus 30. They've all been injured. And quite frankly, the rest of the league, because they have been a gold standard for so long, has worked diligently and literally built rosters so that they can contend and catch up with this squad. And as you look around the West, it seems that it is working in sincerity. And so this, to me, is not a knock on anything that the Warriors have done. All good things have to come to an end. I just think the West is that deep and that dangerous, and injuries are real. If you're not on the floor, then you are not who you were over the course of the dynasty.
I don't think the window is closed quite yet. And I actually think this window could extend for another couple years. when we look at these injuries, they haven't happened simultaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know that for the Warriors to be at their best, they need Draymond and Steph together. They need Klay out there. They need those three guys working together. Draymond came on my podcast a couple months ago, and he talked about this. Look, in a separate situation, Draymond would have found greatness. Steph would have found greatness. Klay would have found greatness. However, to reach their best, they all need each other. And so if we look at Draymond, has said recently, he feels great. Steph's got an ankle injury. There's some question marks there. Not anything he can't recover from in time for the playoffs. Klay has shown flashes lately of being the Klay that we all got used to for the last decade. So I don't think it's close. And the reason I think it can extend even further out beyond this season is because of James Wiseman, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole. If we think about the Spurs run, there were so many times as those three guys got older, as Manu and Tony and Tim got older, that people felt the window has closed. And all of a sudden, Kawhi develops into an all-star, an all-NBA player. Danny Green develops. They get contributions from Tiago Splitter. They get a good veteran presence in Boris Diaw. All of a sudden, that window got extended another 5 years. Yes, the big three are getting older for the Warriors, but they have guys. James Wiseman, can he develop into an all-star? Can Jordan Poole, who's been on fire lately, continue to develop? Can Wiggins sort of, you know, regain that all-star form that he had earlier in the season? This window can extend for another couple years, in my opinion.
Okay, so JJ, I hear you in theory, right? Do we at least agree that the rest of the West, the gap is significantly closing?
Oh, 100%. Look, this is not the Warriors that dominated the NBA in 15 and 16 before Kevin Durant. This is definitely not the Warriors with Kevin Durant. But as a contender, they are in that conversation. They still are in that conversation. They still have enough. And there's been flashes at times throughout this season. They've shown they can be one of the best teams in basketball. And look, the jump the Grizzlies have made, I don't think anybody expected that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not rule out the Jazz. Let's not rule out the Mavericks or the Nuggets if they get guys healthy. Of course, the Suns are the best team in basketball. There's great teams in the West. But this window's not
okay,
closed.
Hold on one second, because you just named a lot of teams. I want to move this forward. Right now, if you had to pick, you gave me like 10 teams. I mean, it's
Come
cool.
On, Molly.
I get it.
I gave you four.
Okay, maybe five. There were so many, I lost
four,
count.
Ten, it's fine.
JJ, four other teams.
If today was the day you're a betting man, who's in the Western Conference Finals?
Well, I don't know the final seedings. The Suns are certainly going to be in the Western Conference Finals. The interesting matchup to me is, if the Mavs, who I think are two games out of third place right now, if they get to the three seed, if the Warriors continue to lose games, and we see a Grizzlies-Mavs second-round matchup, there's a real chance the Mavs can advance to the Western Conference Finals. That's a good matchup for them.
Interesting.
If it's Grizzlies-Warriors in that second round, I think it's Grizzlies and Suns in the Western Conference Finals.
Monica, what about you? Who would you have today, Western Conference Finals?
I'm inclined to agree with JJ. I think that the Grizzlies are going to be all right in the absence of Ja, which to me, Ja is going to be able to be healthy and whole and ready to be explosive. I've had the Phoenix Suns coming out of the West all year, but the way JJ broke it down is the way that I would agree. And let me just say, this is probably not close, but I think for an organization, it is close, I'll say that, because for an organization that is accustomed to being there, I just don't know that I see them there. Like, will they be top four, you know, top five, great playoff team? Sure. But I don't know if I see them there moving forward.
Monica, I just want to go back to the Warriors really quick, because if you're arguing the window has potentially closed. So do you think Steph Curry is done winning championships?
Ooh. No, I wouldn't say done winning championships. But I think this iteration of these guys, I don't think that they're going to continue to be able to do it together. Listen, and I think it's interesting, JJ, that you brought up the Spurs. Because I'm thinking stylistically of what that sort of three as the centerpiece was asked to do compared to Steph and Klay and Draymond. I'm glad to hear that Draymond is healthy, and I hope that's sincere. But we can't ever undersell that he is still undersized at the position that he plays. Steph's game is so much movement. If you start talking about lower body injuries that tack up over time, like, that's another thing. And while we've seen flashes of Klay, is flashes of Klay going to be good enough to the clay that was a key component to what they once did. And so it made me think a little bit, but I just wonder, again, as the rest of the league continues to chase after them.
Yeah, stylistically, the Spurs played a bunch of different ways. There was a progression into whose team it was. It was Tim's team. It was a heavy post-up team in the early 2000s. Then it was Tony's team. Then it was Manu's team. Then it was Kawhi's team. When they beat the Heat, and of course they lose in seven games in 2013. When they beat the Heat in 14, though, they're running like a spread pick-and-roll offense with heavy ball movement, attacking closeout, getting three-point shots. So they changed their style quite a bit. The one thing I want to just say about Klay is that I'm not thinking about this version of Klay that we're seeing this season. I'm thinking about the version of him a year out, 2 years out. Look, Klay's 30 years old.
Okay.
But we've got to give him time to get reacclimated. And generally speaking, with these very serious lower body injuries, guys aren't normal until 18 months after coming back. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the time frame. And, and he's been playing basketball now for, 3 months? So let's give him a little bit of more time to look like the Klay that we saw for so long.
Yeah, last word here, Monica.
I agree with you, JJ, and which is why I think we were excited to see Klay return, but you got to give it a little bit more time. But let me ask you this. Is there a Kawhi Leonard on their roster right now? Somebody that can be the next guy to lead it, in your mind?
No, there's
not. I mean, not Kawhi, but you know what I mean.
No, yeah. I know what you're saying. My point was, look, Wiggins has shown that he can be an all-star, and certainly when he played in Minnesota, he was a high-volume shot creator, so there's definitely talent there. Jordan Poole, we talk about Tyler Hero being the sixth man of the year. Mm-hmm. Jordan Poole will be in that conversation at some point if he doesn't end up being a starter. And then the real question mark, of course, is James Wiseman. Like, he was the number two overall pick. Can he become an all-star level player at that five position? That, to me, certainly extends that window.
Yeah, that was a huge blow, losing him. And the Celtics took a huge blow yesterday as well. Okay, Monica, JJ, sit tight. I'm glad that you're still repping your Hoyas. I know it wasn't your year, but as for you, JJ, I have a Tar Heel waiting for you.
Jeez, Molly, you too?
Listen, UConn to New Mexico State. I know the ladies are doing their thing, but listen, the men didn't have the best title run either. So not taking shots, okay? I'm with you. We'll keep it rolling. They'll both be back. To the NFL we go now. Tyreek Hill taking his talents to South Beach. The Cheetah, now the highest paid receiver in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs loaded up with five draft picks in return. Meanwhile, Devontae Adams, who led the league in receiving yards, completions, and receiving TDs, will no longer be catching passes from Aaron Rodgers. But his college quarterback at Fresno in Derek Carr, Devontae is a Raider. So what does that mean for Aaron in the pack? Here's Matt LaFleur and Andy Reid with more.
I think a lot of it was driven by Devontae, I would tell you. But, you know, there's no sense in looking back on it. It's just we're moving forward. So, and we appreciate everything he's done, obviously.
We did try to sign Tyreek at a certain cost. Once it gets past that, now you can see what we're doing here with the players we brought in. And we feel they're very good football players.
There they are, Marcus Spears, Jeff Saturday. Hello, gentlemen. Hello. So good to see you from a distance. Thank you for being with us this morning. We're going to have some fun today. I'm going to start with you here, Marcus. More significant departure. Would you go Devontae Adams or Tyreek Hill?
Oh, I went back and forth on this. Yeah. Molly Q. What's up, Jeff? I go Tyreek.
What's up, man?
And the reason I go Tyreek. What's up, big dog? The reason I go Tyreek is because I've never seen this Kansas City Chiefs offense without him. I don't know if they are as explosive. I don't know if Patrick Mahomes is going to be the same quarterback that we've watched up into this part of his career without Tyreek Hill. I know Aaron Rodgers is an MVP before Devontae Adams. I know Aaron Rodgers is going to play well. I also get concerned about Mahomes last year turning the football over. And every time I think of a critical moment in the Kansas City Chiefs season or a play that needed to be made, it was either Travis Kelce or Tyreek Hill. And I'm not sure if Kelce's ability to operate was because of Tien being out there and his ability to get over the top of defenses and take over games, not only with speed, but just putting the ball in his hands. So, look, I know what Devontae means to Green Bay. I understand how him and Aaron Rodgers had that cohesion and that synergy, and I know it's a huge loss, But when I look at this Kansas City Chiefs offense and I think about where they've been, and sometimes their stubbornness not to run the football, which I saw Green Bay go to Arizona when Arizona was hot during the season last year without Devontae Adams and a number of wide receivers and was still able to manage and win that football game. I just don't know that about Kansas City because I have not seen them without Tyreek Hill and Patrick Mahomes in that offense creating fear in the heart of people, because not only do you have to worry about him, you got to worry about Travis Kelce underneath, which I think benefits a lot from having Tyreek Hill on that roster. Those are my arguments.
I'm the complete opposite, Swagoo. Listen, I appreciate Tyreek Hill. He's a heck of a ball player. I get all that. Andy Reid has produced some really good offenses, and he'll find a way, whether it's with Smith Schuster, Kelce. I mean, you can keep going down the line. He'll continue to find guys. They may even go out and get another guy. Green Bay is at a completely different point for an organization. It is win now, win now, win now. And when you let the greatest tandem between QB and receiver in the league and you let 50% of that walk out the door, that's a big problem, and it's extremely significant. And here's the thing about Aaron Rodgers. He is an incredible quarterback, MVP, all that that implies. He also is one of those guys, and I played with him, who loves the rapport and the trust of his receiver. So there's a reason why he's never had a rookie receiver have more than 38 catches. It's because he loves to know exactly where that receiver is going to be, when he's going to be there, and that he's going to make the play that Aaron expects him to make. As you've watched Devontae Adams and that relationship grow for so many years, you've seen in the biggest moments, it's not between Kelce and Hill like it is for Patrick Mahomes. It's one dude. He's finding one dude, man, and that dude always is in the right place at the right time. That is a very difficult thing to try to recreate, especially in a short window. And when you're talking about a quarterback who continues to threaten, not only he wouldn't be a Packer, but he might not play at all, that's a big issue. And so when you're thinking about Green Bay, especially in the NFC, where now is definitely the time. I'm with you. I'm just saying this, NFC, it's the best chance to win, and they've let that thing out the door.
I got him, Molly. No. I got him.
How?
I got him.
I'm waiting.
This is the first argument back from me being off. Molly, what conference did Devontae Adams just go to?
Devontae Adams is going to the AFC West.
Yeah. AFC.
Okay.
Yeah.
What conference have we been talking about this offseason as far as AFC West being the gauntlet and where we expect these teams to come from? Molly, what team does Josh Allen play for?
The Buffalo Bills, AFC East.
So now you telling me that Patrick Mahomes losing one of the best players at the wide receiver spot in that conference where who we consider the best wide receiver just joined, Russell Wilson is in Denver, Justin Herbert is with the Chargers, we got, and Tyreek Hill leaving Kansas City ain't the bigger loss. Your gauntlet is way harder than the one Aaron Rodgers is going to have to travel.
We haven't had the draft yet, though. Keep in mind, they got 5 picks for that receiver.
Molly, we ain't talking about the draft, we're talking about right now.
Well, I'm just saying, five picks, that's a haul.
Molly, what's the best conference in football, Jeff Saturday?
What's the best conference in football?
That's division, AFC West.
It don't matter. It's about which team. How is the significance? Green Bay has a much easier shot at getting to the Super Bowl than Miami, right? Or the Chiefs, right? If you think about AFC versus NFC, does Green Bay have an easier road to get to the Super Bowl than any of those AFC teams? So if you lost the greatest duo in the NFC, you let that dude walk out your door, you now have put yourself from being the top team in the NFC to maybe 4 or 5. And you can't expect that relationship to grow because you don't have those same picks that Kansas City has. And I understand Green Bay is sitting where they want to. They can go. They can compete. It's an arms race. But Aaron Rodgers takes time to build that rapport as opposed to Andy Reid getting back to that philosophy of getting the ball out of his hands and being on time. That's where the turnovers were created last year for Mahomes.
So until Devontae Adams was traded to the Las Vegas Raiders, Tyreek Hill was considered one of the top receivers in that conference, right?
Correct.
A hard argument for one of the best wide receivers in that division. I mean, in that conference. And you telling me losing him in the same conference that just got way harder is not a bigger loss?
No. Absolutely not. Green Bay has to win now. Listen, even if both teams, even if you look at this from a long-term perspective, short-term or long-term, how quick, I'm asking you this honestly, how quick do you believe Andy Reid will get this offense back on track and get them back to performing and getting up to that level?
Jeff,
at the end of this season? Do you think by the end of the season they can be as good?
No, I don't, Jeff Saturday. I don't believe the Kansas City Chiefs offense can be as good as they've been without Tyreek Hill until they show me that, until Green Bay shows me that they could be as good without Devontae Adams. But my point is, what I think is the point of the argument is, it's a tougher road in the AFC. And you just gave away Tyreek Hill.
Significance. Listen, This might be Aaron Rodgers' last season. Green Bay has a chance, has a true opportunity to go back to the Super Bowl, correct? If you're talking about significance, you lose
an easier role.
They don't have a Travis Kelce to depend on. They don't have a run game. They don't have another wide receiver or skill player they're going to depend on. MVS just walked out the door as well. So Cobb is going to replace it. So when you look around, they don't have the same talent as Kansas City has around their roster.
Marcus.
This was the guy. This was the guy for the Packers. When he walked out the door, Swagoo, it put a huge hole. It is enormous for this football team. And this was one of the top dogs in the NFC. And now they become a top five instead of a top two because of that loss.
Marcus, you honestly believe the Packers have a better shot at the Super Bowl this season than Showtime Mahomes, Andy Reid, and five picks?
Making it?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely. Molly, are y'all not following me on how good this AFC is about to be?
Yeah.
We just saw the Kansas City Chiefs with Tyreek Hill not score a point in the second half against the Cincinnati Bengals. We're not even talking about other teams. I'm talking about they may not win their division. They may not win their own division. And now you got to go outside of that. Everybody expects
the
Buffalo
lost
to be the team.
Jimmy G. With Devontae Adams.
Exactly.
Come on, Marcus. It's not like they made
Swagoo.
Any noise. They keep losing the NFC Championship.
Thank you. Swagoo,
Molly.
If Tyreek Hill is on the Kansas City Chiefs roster this season, how much more of a chance do you give them to make the Super Bowl? Are they your number one? If Tyreek Hill's on the Chiefs right now, are they still your number one? And how far did they drop when you took them off of their roster?
When Tyreek Hill left the roster, I put Kansas City third in the AFC West.
And they were one before.
They were two. I had the Chargers one. I thought the Chargers actually ascended them before they got rid of Tyreek Hill. Because I look at that division.
Okay, so they dropped
one. And here's what I say, Jeff. They dropped one spot because I don't know what the Vegas Raiders defense is going to be. I got a lot of confidence in the Chargers defense now with Khalil Mack and J.C. Jackson and Joseph Day coming over. I got a lot of confidence in the fact that Denver is already a good defense. We all lamented that they were a quarterback away from being legitimate contenders. The Raiders may be better offensively than the Chiefs. That's the legitimate conversation that we're going to have as we come up on this season with the addition of Devontae, Hunter Renfrow, Darren Waller, and Josh Jacobs, because they run the football as well.
Last word here, Saturday, AFC, and then we got to
Because of the most significant shift, and that was Devontae Adams going there. That's the only reason they're in the conversation. One team
got significantly worse.
One team got significantly better.
Tyreek left.
Thank you.
He got you now, though. Convinced because Devontae's there. Come on, you got to admit he got you a little bit on Vegas. You wrapped that up. That was a nice bow, Jeff. You should host the show. Marcus, just take that out.
The question is the most significant departure.
Yeah.
The most significant departure is the departure of the team where the guy's in the toughest path to get to the Super Bowl that's no longer there.
I don't know. You just made an argument for the Raiders maybe being better because they got Devontae. I don't know.
Thank you. It all just came because of Devontae.
All right, let's leave it there.
But that's not what we're arguing.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles in everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
It doesn't get any better than this. Arguably one of the greatest rivalries in sports, Duke-UNC facing for the first time in the NCAA tournament, Coach K's final run, Coach Hubert Davis's first Final Four. This might be the biggest game in NCAA history. There have been 257 matchups between these two teams all time. Talk about history, 36 appearances in the same tournament field. Finally, their first meeting in March Madness has a trip to the title game on the line. Now, this is the segment I was most excited about today, you know, because I love some good trash talking. So we have a Tar Heel, and we have a Blue Devil, we have a Tiger, and we have a Husky, really, if we're going to go there. Okay, so I've got some questions for you, gentlemen. This is going to be fun. Is Duke-UNC the best rivalry in sports? Jeff Saturday, you're up first.
Absolutely. This is without a doubt. Listen, you could make a slight argument back in the day for Celtics, Lakers. You could have some of these arguments, Red Sox, Yankees. Maybe, right? But Duke, Carolina defines all rivalries. Think about this. Think about the coaches, Coach K. Roy Williams. Think about Dean Smith, now Hubert Davis. Think about all the success that these programs have carried through over the last 50 years. I mean, this is every time these two teams play, throw the records out, it's on. Whether it's at Cameron, whether it's at the Dean Dome, you know these two teams are going to be completely ready to play, and the country is watching. Everybody who cares about any type of rivalry is going to be on this game. They're going to be betting on the game. They're going to be fired up for the game. I have been attendance at Cameron when we won and at Carolina when we won. So I know the excitement no matter where it is, how exciting these things are. It is by far the best rivalry in sport.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
I'm going to co-sign that as well, Jeff.
Co-sign.
I mean, look,
Sure you would.
Bias aside, Duke UNC is the greatest rivalry in sports. There's been so many classic moments over the years, and a lot of these moments have happened in games where one of the teams wasn't particularly good. I think back to Jeff Capel's shot going against Stackhouse and Rasheed Wallace in 1995 to tie, and that game I think went into double overtime. Chris Duhon's little reverse layup at Carolina to beat Carolina that year when they weren't particularly good and we were the number one team in the country. This game always matters. It always matters. It doesn't mean matter who, you know, who's on the floor, what the rankings are. You're always going to get a high-level basketball game. The thing that makes this very unique, these two schools are, as we know, 8 miles apart. Auburn, Alabama, that's a great college rivalry, 2.5 hours apart. So when I'm living on campus for 4 years, this matchup, this rivalry was unavoidable. You know, week of game, I'd go get a bagel before class on a Tuesday, and the person who was giving me my bagel would say, you suck, you guys are going to lose Saturday. This is on Duke's campus. This is on Duke's campus. My senior year, I lived right on the border of Durham and Chapel Hill, and there was a Jason's Deli, shout out Jason's Deli, on the Chapel Hill side. And I would go there for lunch all the time, and I would get harassed. People would be like, why are you in Chapel Hill?
Yes.
Why are you in Chapel Hill? My apartment's a mile down the road. I can't get a nice nope. turkey sandwich, a nice turkey club.
No.
This is to me one of the greatest things that I got to participate in as an athlete, that I got to participate in this rivalry. And all 9 games I played against Carolina, 6-3, by the way, all 9 games I played against Carolina were so memorable. They were so memorable. One of the highlights of my basketball career, playing in this rivalry.
All right, Marcus, I have a lot to say, but where are you on this? Greatest rivalry in sports.
See, Molly, you know, I had to come back off my hiatus and whoop up on Jeff with the conversation about Tyreek Hill and Devontae Adams. I understand this from J.J. Redick. By the way, it's great being on TV with you, J.J., for the first time. I completely understand this coming from J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
Knocking down threes, making big plays, the affinity for Coach K. He's a Duke alum. I expect the same thing out of Jay Williams. Jeff Saturday, I am so damn disappointed in you. You have just made my morning worse. I was planning on having a good day. It's cold in Virginia. I was hoping that you would bring me some sunshine, Jeff Saturday, because you know dang well, man, Alabama-Auburn, the Iron Bowl, is the greatest rivalry in sports. All right, we talking about people actually spending time in jail because people loses this game. They went. They had a guy go and kill trees. Y'all know that's a felony. Y'all know that that is an issue that you cannot escape when you talk about Alabama, Auburn, Iron Bowl. I don't care about the distance, JJ. These people hate each other, bro. And when you walk into a stadium and it's 105,000 people, and I love basketball. Jeff Saturday could tell you, I think I know more about basketball than anybody. I love it. March Madness is my favorite thing to watch during of any season that we have. But dude, the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, the things that go along with it, the pageantry of college football, especially in the SEC. You can move, like Duke, Carolina, universal. So is Auburn, Alabama, when it comes to sports and a rivalry. I will not, and I went to LSU, which it became a rivalry with Alabama because LSU ascended and got good, and obviously Nick Saban left LSU and went to Alabama. That became November 3rd, 5th, whatever the day is, it's a huge game. But the Iron Bowl, Alabama, Auburn,
okay.
It ain't nothing
okay.
like it. You okay. talk about throwing
Time
records out the window. You talk about no matter how good the teams are, this is that one in college sports.
Okay. First of all, the question wasn't college sports. And this is cute. You know, the SEC, the ACC, very cute. But this is a national show. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Boston Celtics were tied for 17 championships. Are you kidding me? JJ, you're going to sit here with a straight face, having played all those years in the NBA, and you're going to go Duke, North Carolina over Lakers, Celtics when we're talking greatest rivalry?
The history of the rivalry is certainly there, and there's been ebbs and flows to the quality of games in this rivalry.
Fair.
Like in the 80s, yes, one of the greatest rivalries in sports.
Thank you.
Certainly when Kobe was there and the big three were there with the Celtics, that was great. But there are years where the Lakers are lottery bound. The Celtics are lottery bound. These games don't matter. They don't matter. I have a couple comments real quick.
Sure.
I saw Jeff
on
earlier segment, and I am absolutely shocked that he didn't change between segments and put a Carolina blue shirt on. It's a classic Carolina move. And Marcus, you bring up the word hate, right? The hatred between Auburn and Alabama fans. And my comment to that is, I've always felt that Carolina fans hate Duke fans way more than Duke fans hate Carolina fans. And the reason is that people that go to Carolina, and there's a lot of people in North Carolina that are
there
UNC fans
that
didn't go
Uh-oh.
To Carolina, but people in North Carolina and UNC fans all over the country, they have an inferiority complex. They have an inferiority complex, and that's just that's part of the rivalry.
Let's go. Inferiority complex. He's ready.
There
Stay
go.
Ready. You have
there
to get ready.
JJ, you wanted to see some gear? Look at the gear, baby. We don't miss. This ain't no missed opportunity. I was waiting for the best timed I could put it on, and this is it. You want to see that Tar Heel, baby? That's what it's all about right there. You see it. You know about it. We ain't scared of it. There is great hate. From the Carolinas to the Dukies, you know it. I ain't mixing words. I hope we win that thing and put an end to it all. 24 runs at that Final Four. I'm hoping we go to that finals and make it all happen, baby. No doubt in my mind.
I'd like to say one more thing, and this is not really on topic, but it is on topic. I really question the selection committee's sanity this year, that they just decided that the ACC wasn't a great conference this year. I was at the Miami game in person in Cameron. Yeah. Miami beat Duke. I was at the Carolina game, Coach K's last home game. I hate bringing it up. Obviously, Carolina won. Yeah. But in watching those two teams play against Duke, those are great basketball teams. Great basketball teams. How Carolina, second in the ACC, 15-5, with a bunch of NBA guys on their team, by the way. They have pros on their team. How they ended up with an 8 seed, how Miami, with a bunch of 22, 23-year-old guys that are third in the ACC, end up with a 10 seed, it's just wild to me. Poor job by the selection committee. Poor job.
Yeah.
Because they wanted this, JJ. You know what it is. You know eyeballs and money. This is monetary, big dog. And I can't wait to watch it. I love the rivalry. Don't get me wrong. But it ain't the Iron Bowl.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. All right. We got a little biases here. You're lucky I didn't bring up Yankees Red Sox, okay? Because that's another one I could make a strong case for. Let's get some picks here. Get everybody on the record. If we need to do a friendly wager, we can do that. Jeff Saturday, who you got?
Tar Heels. Are you serious? Don't even ask me. You know where I'm going. Tar Heels all the way.
I got Duke, obviously, winning 74-67. 74-67.
Duke, by the way.
Paulo is going to have a nice 21-12. It's going to be a good game, but 74-67. Duke, by the way, the execution down the stretch over these last three games has been phenomenal, and I'm going to expect to see that again
on
Saturday night.
Great. Oh,
see. And you asked why I didn't like Duke growing up. Yep. This is just case in point right there.
Marcus, arrogance is the reason. Arrogance.
Exactly. Yeah, you said it, not me. Marcus, who you got? Tiebreaker for me.
I think I'm going Carolina. I think I'm going Carolina. I like Big Baycock on the glass on that front court.
Yes.
He dominated that last matchup. And listen, here's the thing, and JJ knows this. If Duke can knock shots down, then they should win the basketball game. But when they play Carolina at times, throughout history, it seems that they have a problem and there is a top on the rim at times. If they knock shots down and Pablo does his thing, they can win this game. But I'm going to take Carolina because the last matchup, they dominated on the boards and on the glass. And I think that could be the situation again.
In honor of that Carolina pick, I heard that we have a Jeff Saturday photo that I might want to see. Can we pull that up before we go to break quickly?
Uh-oh.
Oh, there it is.
Oh.
There it is.
Where's JJ picture?
We already have the JJ picture. He used to comb the hair down. Now it goes back.
I don't have any midriff bearing shirts.
No crop top?
I'm disappointed in your pick, by the way. I'm disappointed in you. Disappointed.
Very little discretion.
I thought you and I were going to agree. I thought our first segment together, you and I were going to agree. Disappointed.
You thought wrong.
Midriff.
Yeah. Crop tops. No more crop tops.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.